Okay, so I'll run things from here. So we'll turn now to a discussion. And, you know, it's what struck me today, I mean, it's an exciting time for the campus. It's an exciting time for the city. And it struck me that we're having this discussion today about inequity and disparity on Election Day, where the choices that are being presented to us really reflect a change in political demographics in San Diego, reflecting, you know, social and economic and ethnic demographics. Finally, political demographics seem to be keeping pace. So, you know, it struck me the you know, changing nature of our political life in the city and our changing language about community investment and engagement here on the campus. You know, thinking about disparity and equity, the campus is, you know, talking a lot now about how collaborative research more effectively, you know, addresses problems in the world. The problems are too complex for any one discipline to solve alone. So the necessity of collaborative research, the importance of thinking about our research in terms of its impact. So what, you know, effect are we having on the world, but also on our own community right here in San Diego, and how do we engage our students you know, more consistently in community-based projects. So the question of experiential learning is obviously essential to many of these projects as well. So I'd like to open things up like this. The extent to which understanding and addressing problems of social inequity and disparity require a new way of engaging the world. Whether this can actually be done in the university classroom or whether we need to rethink the way our students are engaging these problems. So the campus has been speaking a lot, the administration has been speaking a lot about the importance of engaging communities. What does that mean? Now, we know what it means in terms of service. It means sharing our resources, and that's obvious. Institutions that have resources should be doing that. But what does it mean in terms of research and pedagogy? Do we value as a campus community-engaged research, and do we value community-engaged pedagogy, and what does that mean? So I'd like to start there, the importance of community engagement and the kind of work that we're doing, the kind of addressing that we're doing. Maybe we could start there, and then we can open things up from there.
And I just can add one point. It would necessitate, I think, the broadening of a variety of concepts or notions, for example, diversity. I think we must speak of diversity not only in terms of making our campus demographically diverse, we need to speak of diversity, I think, in the context of topics that are distributed through our specializations that engage topics and content that engages diversity. But I think that we also need to engage sites of diversity, a more interventionist, more sort of a model that really can enable us, primarily in this region, to go to the places, obviously, where diversity is found and to mobilize new forms of research.
All right. Are there questions from the audience? Thanks.
Question for Mr. Bergeser. Why were you at the Hispanic Black Conference, number one?
Excellent microphone. Okay. An excellent question. The reason I was is that at the time I was at MIT, and my department chair said, we are going to the National Black and Hispanic Business Conference, and your absence will be noted. And so I want to illustrate that as an example of leadership. He came and brought a collection of about 20, 30 of us. And so it was really from above that got me there. And then once I was there, I realized why I should be there.
That's an excellent answer. The other question that I have, I noticed, congratulations, by the way, I noticed that your presentation actually provided very clear outcomes of an effort. So I'm kind of curious whether you feel that physics training helps produce very focused efforts.
Well, I would say we have no outcomes yet. We'll have this first class this summer, and we'll have these students for the next 3 years. And I think it will be some time before we know exactly whether the outcomes are for at least this program. Now, if you're referring to the Fisk-Vanderbilt program, It's not just physics that is involved in that program. There are faculty from several different groups in the sciences from both Vanderbilt and Fisk. One thing I didn't point out is that Fisk actually contributes more than 60% of the funding for that program. So it's a partnership, equal partnership in that. You know, I think they have had enough time to work on this, to hone down exactly what they are assessing, exactly what works, and that's why they have such good outcomes. They've worked at it. They've really taken time to work at it. And that's, I think, an important aspect, is that these are not things that we can just do in 2 years and everything will be solved. All right? We need to actually spend a lot of time figuring out what is the best solution for UCSD and how would we implement that and how we make it sustainable.
Thank you so much. I'm seeing some really incredible intersections, I think, between all of the presentations today. When I consider the things that Sarah and Deo are doing in terms of bringing the scholars to this campus, the potential for those same scholars to be in the community, potentially doing even the same lectures, but in specific locations where it becomes public in a different way than just our campus being public, and then tying that to potentially the high school students that are going into the pipeline and tracking those measures and looking at that piece in terms of knowing that the pipeline really has a lot of leaks, but that kind of scholarship in the community at sites where people already are really could change things. And so I really do appreciate this particular grouping and how that might come to solution in terms of this. So thank you all very much.
Just to respond to that, Sean, I think that's a really wonderful point. One of the things that we didn't get a chance to talk about was our sort of desire to be able to produce a kind of regularized way to not only bring in, say, visiting scholars as part of a research, you know, institution, but to actually alternate bringing in visiting scholars from other universities, bringing in a regularized community fellow who would actually receive support and funding to do the kind of work that isn't just like, you know, a sabbatical from the kind of overwhelming work of, you know, community organizing, but that also would build those kinds of shared knowledge and allow for kinds of shared speakers, kinds of shared events, kind of long-term shared research collaborations as well. And I think that, you know, the kind of work that Teddy's doing and the, you know, kind of things that are happening really speak to the need and the capacity to really think about alternative forms of knowledge production. You know, I think for us in terms of Black Studies, San Diego is a really crucial place to do this. I don't know how many of you know, San Diego has the second largest Somalian immigrant population in the United States, right? So this is a place where actually the shifting notions of blackness between Afro-Latino populations who are coming across the southern border or have lived here for a long time and, you know, African populations, and then U.S.-born black populations who've migrated from the south particularly are all intersecting. So it makes it actually a really vibrant place to be doing that kind of community-based work and making those kinds of collaborations.
And that's what inspired our public scholar award, because it's not only bringing the scholars into the community, but again, can those community activists who might not have the credentials to be here participating come into the campus to co-teach with some of us? And so that was got us really excited to think that their knowledge can also be participant of rethinking our pedagogy here.
Yes. To piggyback off that, role models, I think, are huge. If you don't see somebody, so as a high schooler, if you don't see somebody who looks like you, who maybe has gone through the same things in their past that you have, in that position, say in physics, coming from a woman's point of view, you know, I see very little women in chemistry, physical sciences. But if I saw that strong woman up there as a leader, with the leadership, then I would say I can be that because, you know, I share the background, I understand what she's coming from, and because she's made it, I can make it too. And I know that comes down the line because with the rates of African Americans in faculty positions in physics and just the low numbers, like it's going to come with time, but I think just really paying attention to being a role model and having role models and how that affects, you know, high school students and students of underrepresented minorities who want those positions. And then also, what was my other point? Getting out of the classroom. I graduated from UC Santa Cruz in community studies, and I was barely in a classroom. We were always in the community working with community organizers and planning rallies and just bringing a lot of attention around issues. But talking to my friends who got bachelor's in science, never left the classroom. They never left the lab. And I think that's a problem. Even though they're, you know, mostly focusing on numbers and science, they should still go out in the community and see how it applies, and not just get stuck in that box that is academia.
Thank you. Does anybody want to respond? We're actually running very late, so I think we have to end it there. But that's a very interesting point that was just raised about the importance of experiential learning in a time when class sizes are getting bigger. Electronic learning is becoming more appealing for all sorts of reasons. This is very sort of hands-on work that requires a lot of supervision and a lot of,
I was just going to add, I think the panel has sliced up some of the necessary work in really interesting ways that need to be put in combination. I think one maybe last piece to add is that in addition to role models, in addition to leaving the classroom, if one wants to plug leaks in the pipeline, some of the sort of like less sexy work has to be done, such as actually tutoring in algebra well. So rather than being a role model only, getting out of the classroom and experiencing other communities, if you're going to serve in a way that truly supports pipeline plugs, you have to learn how to tutor algebra. Some of that really serious equity work goes alongside all the other forms of serious equity work that we've been talking about today.
Excellent. Well, I'd like to thank the panel and the moderator for just a wonderful, stimulating discussion.